Transcript of proceedings of the sale of county property acquired at resale will be considered for approval as well. The Washington County Commissioners meet Monday, November 9th at 9:30 a.m. State Representative Avery Fricks, a Republican from Muskogee, recently announced his intent to file legislation to modernize the state's telecommunications infrastructure in the upcoming 2021 session. Fricks spent the interim visiting with stakeholders from across the state, including sheriffs, police departments, also Oklahoma Highway Patrol and the Department of Emergency Management. He says they all should be able to rely on interoperable system, giving them the best chance possible to address emergencies, such as the recent ice storms, tornadoes, flooding, or other catastrophic events. News on the air, on the web, on your app, and on Alexa. I'm Tom Davis. Good morning, and welcome to the Green Country Gardener program, right here on K1, the one you trust. Today's program is brought to you by Jensen Tractor Ranch, Green Thumb Nursery, Peter's True Value, and United Rentals. Get ready to sharpen your shovels. Good morning and rise and shine. Let's head on out to that yard. Let's head on out. Have ourselves some fun. Get dirty with it. Right now it is 8:09 and it is 47 degrees and it is the Green Country Gardener Program. Our expert Larry Glass in studio. How you doing, Larry?
Doing rather well today, actually, considering.
Considering?
Considering all the work I've done this week trying to get caught up after the week of rain, you guys have wonderfully blessed us with the week before.
And a little bit of ice. You fright that?
Yeah, no, that was frightening, yes. Yeah. We came real close. That was a squeaker.
Oh, yeah, it was. Yeah. 2 more degrees, we would have been in real trouble.
Yeah, that wasn't a zinger. It was a squeaker. So, anyway, with that in line, you might want to consider doing some things in the garden to prepare for the winter.
Okay.
I did a little bit of that last weekend, on last Sunday, on my yard. Mm-hmm. Got some of the old annuals. They got burned out in the cold. Thank you very much. And got them, ran them through the shredder, and put the shreddings back in the garden. And mulch. Got to put down some mulch. Mm-hmm. It's time also to winterize the irrigation system. Yes. I think we are anticipating some rain this coming week, too.
Yeah, we are. It looks like Monday night we've got a chance of a thunderstorm. In fact, a real good chance of it.
And a thunderstorm.
Chance of rain on Tuesday, yeah.
Oh, good. Wow. I just love the sound of thunder rumbling in the distance.
There you go.
And the big crack pop when it hits your house and burns everything up. Yeah, I just love it. No. But anyway, yeah, they're kind of exciting. So it'd be probably, if you have fescue grass, it'd be a good opportunity, if you haven't yet, to do some fertilization of that fescue at this point.
Okay.
We have all this month, really, to do that, to get it going. It's really actively growing right now. And going in even into December, the first part of December, typically the fescue grass is growing. Mm-hmm. So you need to try to urge it along, get it good and healthy and ready to go for the winter. So there's a brief period of time, I say brief, December, January, 1st of February, when you really don't do anything to it.
Got it.
So if it isn't really ready for that yet, you might want to consider giving it some fertilizer just so it will be prepared for the ensuing cold weather
as it
comes along. So anyway, otherwise, if you have Bermuda or zoysia grass, you can probably put the mower to sleep. We did a zoysia lawn at Osage County this last summer.
How'd that go?
Beautiful. Mm. His whole yard's like a putting green.
Oh, man.
I know. We were there yesterday. He wanted to add to the landscaping. Mm-hmm. And I said, this yard looks great. What have you done to it? I said, just what you told me to. Okay.
Usually how it works.
I said, all right. Well, yeah, you've done a very good job with it. So
great.
We put irrigation in and all that lighting and landscaping and all that. So mm-hmm. it turned out real pretty. So he's very happy with that. So, and I said, do I need to fertilize it again? I said, no, I wouldn't waste your money on it right now. Wait till late March, mm-hmm. April, around there to put the fertilizer on it, then let it come out. So anyway, it's also time for minor trimming on trees and shrubs.
Minor.
I say minor trimming, not till we've had a good hard freeze. especially on your boxwoods. You don't want to trim them very heavily at this point.
Got it.
You do want to do maybe a minor trimming on your boxwoods. If you do a heavy trimming, it might put out a little bit of growth, and then it will freeze off in the winter, and you'll have these ugly-looking little yellow tips on your boxwood. So, do some just tidy them up a little bit. Don't do too much on them. And I plan on doing some of that today because I can finally take a little bit of time off around my own yard.
Get to visit your own house.
So it looks like an abandoned, you know, district or something. Starting to do a little bit on my stuff. So you might do some minor trimming right now at this point.
Mm-hmm.
Save the heavy trimming up for January. Okay. So anyway, you want to prepare your plants for winter damage from rabbits and other wildlife. We at the nursery, we do have several forms of animal repellents, such as even the Milorganite fertilizer.
Mm-hmm.
And we have a whole shelf over there on the north side of the showroom for to keep the animals, rabbits, and deer, and whatnot away from your plants. So
Critter Corner.
I know. I got a call the other day. She said, the deer are rutting on my maple trees. Yeah. But you know, when they rub their antlers, I don't know what they call that, but anyway. And so I told her what to do. And so we have some repellents. And anyway, she got somebody to put some wrap around the tree. So hopefully it'll work.
Good.
So use a tree wrap or chicken wire in severely affected areas on younger trees. Plants that are susceptible to damage from rodents, and we do have a lot of rabbits and other various unsundry rodents here and there.
Mm-hmm. Skunks.
Even skunks will gnaw on a maple tree.
Yeah.
Once they discover it, though, once they figure out, one of them will come along and eat on it a little bit. That's good. They tell all their buddies.
Nothing like having your skunk buddies over, you know?
Your $325 Japanese maples, firewood.
them beavers got stripes on them.
so you want to make sure you do something to try to keep the critters from gnawing on your trees. So chicken wire works, like I said, chicken wire works pretty well. Just tree wrap will work, just so they don't have an unappetizing mouthful of plastic rather than a tree when they're going after it. So you want to protect your plants from that. Roses also a little bit, they might need a little bit of protection from the rabbits and other things like that too. So keep that in mind this winter going into it, that if you do have a problem with that, there are solutions for that that work.
Got it.
Okay. At the nursery this week, we have a wide selection of pansies, of course.
Mm-hmm.
They're really, really showing some good color. Thanks for the excellent weather.
There you go.
You guys really did a good job this week.
Okay.
I got a lot done, too. next week, though, you have to work on that. But anyway, and ornamental kale, too, is another one. And that's that's what we're going to talk about next. Some great-looking houseplants. It's really nice waterfalls, little water features, too.
Mm-hmm.
These are water features you can put on the patio or even in the house in some cases to give you some splashy water sounds. They're kind of pretty, too. Some of them have LED lights in them. They're kind of cool. So anyway, we got a new selection of water features at the nursery. So you might want to check those out, too. The fall colors kind of left the maple trees for the sun part, actually for the most part. And after the rain coming on and the wind, it's supposed to get real windy tomorrow, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah,
so
we are.
I was going to rake the lawn today. But if the wind's out of the north, Kevin will get all my leaves. So.
Actually, you can get a south wind at 20 miles per hour, gust to 30.
Oh, well, then I'll get everybody else's leaves. So, okay. Anyway, I'll get Kevin's leaves. Anyway.
Isn't it nice when you all share?
Yeah. So, but anyway, the color's kind of gone on those. You can look up at your maple trees and look at the branching structure. Look for any damage from this last summer's weather and wind and whatnot, and be prepared to maybe do a little pruning or have some pruning done on your maple trees or other trees if there is some storm damage on them. That's just the best way to preserve them and keep them healthy, is to look out for damage and do something about it when you see it.
Mm-hmm.
So get a big ladder and climb up the tree, or do what I do, just climb the tree. So anyway, okay, getting back to the ornamental kale.
Yeah.
Ornamental kale is essentially the same as the kale grown in the vegetable garden, except that the ornamental types have been bred to have showy white or reddish purple colored leaves on them.
Yep.
Kale is a member of the cabbage family. Is fundamentally a cabbage that does not produce a head. Instead, it produces leaves in a very tight rosette on this one. The ornamental kales are biennials, meaning the first year they produce leaves, and the next year they do the flowers and so on. So they, this first year, the, typically when you get an ornamental cabbage, it's already been through its first year. Mm-hmm. This is the second year, and it's really big and showy. And then next spring, they bolt.
Okay.
Bolting is the term used when they have flowers, and usually about 10 minutes. flowers.
That's why they bolt.
So, yeah. So, anyway, they are a member of the... kale is a Scottish name, and it's adapted from the Roman name Col, which I imagine that's where coleslaw came from.
Could be.
Yeah, it's related to this cabbage.
Cabbage and everything else like that, yeah.
So you could probably chop up your flowering cabbage and put it in your coleslaw for some color, maybe.
There you go.
It's edible. So, anyway, these plants will do real well. I like to use them at the entrance to the house or somewhere where they can really be seen mm-hmm. by you yourself or a lot of people. Mm-hmm. They do need a fair amount of sunshine in order to generate this color. And they can tolerate our weather until it gets down below 15 degrees.
I can tolerate this weather until it gets down to 15 degrees.
15 degrees is kind of chilly.
Yeah, it is.
A little bit, yes.
If you're playing basketball outside at 15 degrees... when you bounce the ball, it doesn't always
it
come
shatters.
Back to your hand.
It shatters, yeah.
Got to go in. Game off, man.
You can make it hardier for the winter by making sure that it has adequate water.
Yep.
Yeah, so. Anyway, there's quite a history on the flowering kale and cabbage and so on. But anyway, we use it in the gardens in the fall just mm-hmm. for some winter interest. So, and they're very easy to grow. There's really no insect problems with it during the winter. They are susceptible to cabbage loopers and things, so they mm-hmm. can cause some holes in it, make your flowering cabbage or kale look like Swiss cheese.
Ooh, you don't
but
need
if
that.
If you have the flowering kale, you won't know it because the leaves are kind of open, if you will. They're,
yeah.
They're open habit to them. They look like Swiss cheese already. they are edible, and they're often used as a garnish. In plates in place of parsley too mm-hmm. and I've seen them used on television too. It's funny when I watch these television shows, supposedly they're in Germany and they're climbing up olive trees, you know, with snow. No
not happening.
It's so funny when you're a botanist and you watch these shows and they're supposedly they're in a cold climate and you see these tropical plants. It's kind of funny, but anyway. So it's kind of, kale is used as a front of the border plant, sometimes for massing and public displays and so on. And it should have fertile soil that's well drained.
Okay.
It needs at least 6 hours of sunlight and can be grown in pots as a patio plant too. But if it gets really cold, you might want to pull them into the garage if it's going to get really cold.
Got it.
So that's kind of the story on the flowering cabbage and flowering kale.
All righty.
We sell a ton of this stuff too.
I bet you do.
Yeah, it's really nice. So.
And, we're going to take a quick little break, and we're going to be back with more of the Green Country Garden. Don't forget, you can always call Larry and get some advice here at 1-800-749-5936. It's that easy. We're going to be right back after this 2-minute timeout.
Hello, this is Tim from United Rentals. If you call United Rentals Strategic Sales Team, you may not get someone directly with Bartlesville, but you'll get someone from the Tulsa Metro. These are still local people. They will be from the Tulsa Hub. They all know the availability of equipment that can be brought to that branch to take care of your needs. We are local and customer focused. You can give us a call at United Rentals, 918-333-9580.
Fall has arrived at Green Thumb Nursery and Greenhouses. Garden mums, pansies, and flowering kale are in stock and ready to bring color to your flower beds. Plus, Green Thumb Nursery and Greenhouses has new shipments of tropical foliage plants, trees, and shrubs. Now's a great time to plant fescue grass seed, and Green Thumb has a great selection of five-star fescue seed ready to sow. Come see what's new and get your mums and pansies from Bartlesville's largest selection of quality plants. Open 7 days a week. Green Thumb Nursery and Greenhouses.
Shop the first Saturday in Pawhuska today.
Just in at Pawhuska Marketplace is a huge shipment of Wyoming Traders clothing, men's wool vests, ranch coats, and Coulter jackets, all colors and sizes up to 3X. Great prices on turquoise jewelry, all in time for early shopping for Christmas. Shop Pawhuska Marketplace on Kahika in Pawhuska.
Blue Sky Bank, supporting and serving the community with great customer service, online banking, and paying the highest interest rates on checking in Pawhuska. Stop by today. Blue Sky Bank on Kahika in Pawhuska. Equal housing lender. Member FDIC.
At Sisters Attic, you'll find just about anything you want or need. New merchandise, antiques, gently used furniture, and small appliances, toys, kitchen gadgets, and gift items. Old-time brands of candies and Watkins products, all at Sisters Attic on Main in Pawhuska.
Whether it's personal, for office, or an event, you'll want to head to Bartlesville Print Shop. Personalized printing on sports and promotional products, apparel, shirts, hoodies, graphic designing, posters, and banners. Where Pawhuska goes for printing for their fast turnaround. Bartlesville Print Shop on 2nd and Dewey in Bartlesville.
Good morning and welcome back to the Green Country Gardener Program. And you can be on board with us here with your calls and questions at 1-800-749-5936. I'm Tom Davis and I've got Larry Glass, our expert today. Where are we now?
We talked about fertilizing yard, ornamental kale, what's kind of going on at the nursery with waterfalls and pansies and so on, and mulch.
Thank you very much.
Winterizing the irrigation system, that's kind of important because of the codes, the plumbing codes. We have an above ground backflow preventer those were installed typically after 1980 something. They are subjected to freezing and they're rather expensive. So you make sure you have your irrigation system winterized. We have a caller?
Yes, we do. Hi, good morning and welcome. You're on the air.
Good morning. I have a question about oak trees that are just really, really tall, and they have had problems with their leaves, and now that I'm raking them, I'm finding out they have little spots all over them. I was told this was Kermi scale, and that was without someone looking at them, and I was told it needed dormant oil, and then it needed three more treatments during the year. I'm wondering if this is correct.
Well, yeah, if a scale is an insect, and really I had a bad case of scale on one of my oak trees at home, and I put some imidacloprid on it, which is a systemic insecticide, and they all died. The insects, not the trees. So you might want to consider, if I could see the leaves or bring one by we can make a determination exactly what it is, and if it is,
okay.
If it is,
will you be in this morning? Later?
I won't be in, but there'll be somebody there that can.
That will know.
That will know, yeah. And bring in a twig. Bring in a twig too, a branch.
A branch, okay. I can do that.
Because typically the scales infest the branch of the tree.
Okay.
And we have just a tree and shrub drench, which is very, I wouldn't do it this time of year. We'll wait till March or so to do it.
March. Mm-hmm. Is this sprayed into the tree or is this something you put in the ground?
You measure the diameter of the tree and you put so much, the instructions are on the container, you put so much in a 5-gallon bucket and pour it on the ground. And the plant.
Okay, sounds easier than what I thought this was going to be. Thank you so much, and I will bring this in.
Very good. Thank you for calling.
Thank you.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
And you can be our next caller at 1-800-749-5936. Larry?
Scales. The willow oak and the water oak are susceptible to scale specifically, and some of the other oaks can get it too. But usually they don't bother the leaves.
They don't.
That's unusual, unless it was a real bad infestation. Mm. That's why I said bring in a sample of the branch as well. So
very good.
Okay, anyway, we were talking about lawn weeds, and there's a little bit of a debate as to what should be done when.
Oh, yeah. There usually is.
There's two types of weed controls. It's pre-emergent and post-emergent.
Correct.
At this point in time, the spring weeds are up already in the yard. So a pre-emergent herbicide at this time will be ineffective. So now we're having to use a post-emergent. Now, things like dandelions and are fairly easy to see at this point. You can do spot treatments for those, or you can just dig them up and eat them, one of the two. or the henbit and the chickweed. Mm-hmm. I've noticed some of that coming up in my yard, too. Mm-hmm. Even though I did put a pre-emergent on about a month ago, it's just a little bit here and there. It doesn't get it all. It's a control. You can't expect complete control like that. Mm-hmm. So you do a follow-up with a little hand sprayer with some, you know, some weed control.
A little this,
but
little that.
Here in a little while, after the Bermuda grass has finally gone dormant, you can use some glyphosate, also known as Roundup, on these overwintering weeds. Gotcha. Don't do it right now, though, because you'll kill your Bermuda grass. And then be a great opportunity to then plant some zoysia instead.
And have it look like a putting green like our friends out there in Osage County.
Exactly. Yeah. So anyway, broadleaf weeds and dandelions can easily be controlled during October. Use a broadleaf weed killer at this point on your weeds. Now, on the crabgrass deal, don't worry about that until St. Patrick's Day. Because the pre-emergent control for the crabgrass will be washed out by then. So you want to maximize the effectiveness of it and be ahead of the game at that time when it happens in middle March.
Got it.
So anyway, that leads us to the tree of the week, which is white oak. White oak is a very large, hardy, native tree and one of the most prolific members of the oak hickory upland forest in our region. It's one of the longest lived trees you'll find over here in this part of the country. And the white oak tree, or Quercus alba, is a rather majestic, long-living tree that will last for generations. It's an excellent wildlife source for food mass in form of acorns. Don't plant them near the carport. It'll keep you awake at night.
Yeah.
It has a moderate water requirements and a moderate tolerance of salt and alkaline soils, so it does well here.
Yep.
Everyone we've planted, all the white oak trees have done very well. And it does best, however, in deep, moist, well-drained acid soils. What doesn't? This tree grows at a moderate pace, and the white oak is pyramidal in youth and then develops a broad crown with age. The white oak really dictates a group of trees also. The oak trees are divided into two groups, the red oak group and the white oak group.
Got it.
The red oak group is typically associated with pin oaks and Schumard oaks, northern red oaks, water oaks, live oaks, or a red oak group, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
and then there's the white oak group, which typically has the English oak, which is a really good tree.
Mm-hmm.
The upright English oak was a really nice tree. We planted a lot of those here in town. And some of the other white oaks like that. But anyway, so they're divided. And you can tell the difference between the two by looking at the leaf. Typically, on the very tip of the leaf of a red oak group, it'll have a little spine.
Okay.
And on the white oak group, it has a rounded tip on it also.
Got it.
And there are some actually growing wild native white oaks growing in the woods here. And it's easy to see them by the vertically striated, white-colored, whitish-grayish-colored bark. It's a little bit different. The blackjack oak has a bark that's more rough and it's kind of broken up into rectilinear shapes, if you will, when it goes up. But the white oak group has strips of bark that go vertically, lighter in color. So you can tell the difference between the two that way.
Very good. Very easy.
So if they'll grow out in Osage, they'll grow anywhere,
won't they?
And you'll see them mixed in with other trees, too, along with hickories and ash trees, too, out in the wild here. So anyway, it's a really good plant. I really like it because it's so hardy. It's easy to grow. It typically is resistant to oak tree wilt, which can affect a lot of the red oak groups. Very rarely do you see oak wilt on a white oak. So, that's a good thing, I guess. And it's tolerant of a wide variety of growing conditions, to poorly drained, to well-drained, to rocky soil, to sandy type soil. It'll tolerate a wide variety of growing condition, and it's a sturdy tree. You won't have to worry about it breaking up in storms.
No, it sounds like it's pretty darn tough.
Good strong tree. The only drawback might be the acorns, But anyway, there's one variety called the swamp white oak. And we studied this extensively in college.
Mm-hmm.
And it's highly recommended. It's swamp white oak.
Swamp white oak.
It doesn't have Spanish moss with it or anything else. People think it's just called the swamp white oak.
Got it.
For some odd reason, I don't know. But anyway, it's very very tolerant of the conditions. Mm-hmm. So that's kind of the tree of the week is the white oak or the white oak group. So
there you go.
When you're picking out a tree, you might want to select one of these. I like them because of their deep root system. You can plant them fairly close to concrete and whatnot. You can have them in your lawn. You can still have grass. You won't trip over the roots. You can still have grass underneath them. And actually, we've been doing some digging around some of them. And you can dig a hole for a concrete border, and you don't hit the roots.
Sound of a gun.
They go down really deep.
Good.
So this is a good tree to have. Very drought tolerant, too.
There you go. An oak for all of us Okies.
Oak for the Okie. That's right.
It's 8:33. We're going to take a little bit of a break. We'll be back after this two-minute timeout.
Save big this month at Peter's True Value in Dewey. Right now, you can save on a Holiday Wonderland 200-count LED mini light sets at $14.99, saving you $7. Pick up a Black & Decker 50-piece 20-volt max cordless drill set for $49.99, an $89 value. And for just $29.99, you can get a DeWalt 34-piece SAE metric socket set, saving you $15. But only at Peter's True Value in Dewey. Offer ends November 29th, 2020.
With approved credit,
it's the November
Black Friday sales event
going on in November.
Lease the 2021 Jeep Compass,
$299 a month.
2020 Ram 1500 Limited,
20% off MSRP.
$699 a month with approved credit.
It's the Black Friday sales event
in November at Bartlesville CDJ.
Or lease the 2020 Chrysler 300, just $310 a month.
And the 2020 Jeep Cherokee, lease for just $275 a month.
Or the 2020 Jeep Grand Cherokee, lease for $499 a month
at Bartlesville CDJ.
You pick it out and we'll work it out.
When I grow up, I want to be a new pair of blue jeans.
When I grow up, I want to be a kid's first computer.
When I grow up, I want to be a glass countertop in a new home.
When I grow up, I want to be a kid's best birthday present.
When I grow up, I want to be a football stadium.
When I grow up, I want to be a warm fleece on a cold day.
When I grow up, I want to be a fancy backsplash.
I want to be a bike that races around the country.
I want to be a bench on a forest trail.
I want to be a rocking chair on a sunny skyscraper.
When I grow up, I don't want to be a piece of garbage. And if you recycle me, I won't be.
Give your garbage another life. Recycle. Learn how at iwanttoberecycled.org. A public service advertisement brought to you by Keep America Beautiful and the Ad Council.
Good morning and welcome back to the Green Country Gardener Program. It is 8:35 and our phone lines are open. You can talk to Larry at 1-800-749-5936. And we're talking bushes now, aren't we, sir?
You bet. The one plant that's really making a big show right now. As you're driving around, you see this big red thing growing.
Wow.
And that's what you call Euonymus elatus.
Euonymus elatus?
Euonymus elata.
Oh, there you go.
There you go. It's a very well-behaved large shrub with excellent, excellent fall color. This year, they really put it on a really big shoe.
It bursted all over with color.
You bet. Probably among the few things changing color this fall right now. Mm-hmm. It grows in sun to shade in well-drained soil. You can use it as a specimen, as a screen, as a little sculpted thing or whatever. They're very versatile plants. Mm-hmm. Being a member of the Euonymus family, though, you can do about anything you want with these.
Okay.
So you can have them. I've got some that are this tall, some that are 8 feet tall.
For you folks at home, that would have been just a little higher than waist tall and then up to 8 feet, as Larry was showing us with his hand.
About this tall, yeah.
Yay big is wide.
They do like to be mulched, and they do not like drought.
Okay.
But golly, this time of year, when they're doing their show, mm-hmm. it's this year, really, thanks to the weather. You guys have done a great job with the weather this year, I have to tell you.
I don't think we got any control.
They're really showing some really, really good color. And what I like about this plant is you can trim it up into a tree form with multi-trunks, almost reminiscent of a Japanese maple.
Ooh.
You're really... Or you can trim it as just a low specimen hedge, or you can just kind of let it go. And I have it several species in my house that are used differently, some as a hedgerow, some as a grouping, and some as a specimen interest plant.
Wow.
And they're all just this bright ruby red button color.
Wow, stop sign red.
Exactly right now. So anyway, they do like sun, they'll grow in sun to shade, but they have better color in the sun. In the shade, they tend to be more of a pinkish red color, mm-hmm. rather than a really dark red color. But they still exhibit some color in the full shade, and they will tolerate those conditions. Mm. They are extraordinarily easy to grow, and they're very tolerant of any condition. I've seen them growing in rock, in good soil and bad soil, and in back behind the shed, in amongst the junk cars. I've seen them grow. That kind of thing. Yeah. But anyway, it does like to be mulch, and it does not like drought, and it does have bright, clear, red, reliable fall color. If you want to plant it near the house, plant it 4 feet away from the house, about that far.
Yeah.
Yeah, like that. Okay, about 4 feet
from
away.
The far shoulder to the middle finger of the opposing arm.
Yes. If you're 6 feet tall.
If you're 6 feet tall.
Anyway, so, and then you can let it grow without having to really trim it up too much.
Mm-hmm.
So, insect pests, it has very few. It has mites. It can get some mites if it has a lot of hot afternoon sun. Mm-hmm. That's probably the main drawback of this particular one in the hot, is attractiveness to mite insects. But other than that, if you can keep it away from, say, against the western facade of the house, if you can keep it away from there, it'll put on a really big show for you whenever, all the time. Mm-hmm. It's tolerant of a wide variety of soil and growing conditions. It does not like a lot of drought, and it does extraordinarily well if it's mulched in real heavily. So anyway, consider the burning bush. Put it, say, against the back fence, in mm-hmm. amongst a bunch of other plants for some color. A big splash of red in the fall. And really a no-care plant, really, when it comes down to it. So,
great.
I like to use it in compositions where maybe some big splash of fall color is wanted, mm-hmm. but to give them a lot of room.
They have to have the room.
Yes.
They have to have it.
They have fruit also on it. Fruit. It's like seeds, if you will.
Okay.
The birds really like them.
Yeah.
And the birds have a habit of spreading the word around when they
gotcha.
So you'll have little burning bushes coming up everywhere. So
hello.
So you can start with one, and they transplant really easily too. They have a very fibrous root system,
mm-hmm.
whereas a lot of plants have a real heavy, thick root system. This one's very fibrous, and because of that, they transplant easily.
Good.
So if you do see some coming up and you want a hedgerow somewhere, well, just dig up the little burning bushes and plant them
there you go.
Here and there. And I've transplanted them in July. I've transplanted them in January. They seem to do equally as well.
Mm-hmm.
Just when you do transplant the transplants, okay, if you do plant the transplants, plant them in some mud.
Mud.
Yeah.
Got it.
Good on the hands.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but anyway, so burning bush, it's a pretty good one to have. It has its place in the landscape, and kind of keep it away from the house a little bit, mm-hmm. and keep in mind that it does get fairly large, that controlling it is easy. I have some that I keep small, and just once a year, I just cut them back.
There you go. Just take care of
them
right
perfect
there.
Perfect tree for Kevin.
Got it.
Cut it back.
Cut her back.
Cut her back, and it'll come back and do real nice. Mm-hmm. So anyway, consider some of those in your landscape composition. Another parallel, not necessarily parallel, but equivalent to that for fall color, is the dwarf Nandina.
Mm-hmm.
right now, they're starting to really show some good color. And they'll be in color all winter long. The dwarf Nandina keeps its leaves all winter long, too.
It does? Okay.
Yes, they do. And they get up to about knee high. If they get any taller than that, got to cut them back.
Oh, no.
And you do that typically as they just begin to grow in the spring is mm-hmm. when you really want to cut back your dwarf Nandinas. Mm-hmm. And right now, the color on them is really going to be good this year.
Sweet. So,
and people say, oh, I don't want a Nandina plant. They come up all over the yard. I get that so many times. And I said, no, these don't do that.
No.
They stay in place very well. The important thing is, with the dwarf Nandinas, is not to let them get leggy. I go to people's houses, and they have leggy dwarf Nandinas. And I say, well, you need to cut those back next spring. But no, they'll come back.
They will.
They'll
come back really nice.
Every 3 years, I cut mine back almost to the ground. And they come back looking so nice that way. Mm-hmm. So, anyway, kind of a pair of shrub of the week.
There you go.
Exhibiting color right now. So, you might consider some of those, too. Both of these plants are very insect resistant, too.
That's a plus.
So, perennial of the week is a columbine.
A columbine,
yeah. Aquilegia. Very hardy perennial that will thrive in all zones in the United States, as well as temperatures in other parts of the world.
Sounds pretty universal.
Antarctica. No.
Yeah, well, now you're talking here.
They do pretty well here. And they we'll have some come spring. We'll have a bunch of them. But we're just getting ready for them now. But anyway, start getting them started. We get these little tiny little things, and we grow them all winter long. We get them ready for sale. But anyway, they prefer filter shade and moist soil. So when you do plant them, you want to add lots of peat. But they will tolerate full sun if they have sufficient water. Mm-hmm. Their flowers vary in size from 3 to 5 inches across, from 1 to 3 inches across, rather, mm-hmm. with blooms ranging in color from pastels to deep purple to yellow to orange and red. These are a very interesting flower if you've never seen a columbine flower.
Got it.
They're unique. So they're real pretty in the landscape. I like to use them a lot. They grow pretty well here until it gets really hot. Then they look a little worn out. But
start flagging a little.
Yeah, but in the spring, though, they really put on a really nice show. So I'd go ahead and maybe consider getting some of these in the spring.
Uh-huh.
But don't get too many of them. Just a spot of them here and there just for some occasional spring color.
A little accent.
Don't make a big deal of them.
Yeah.
But use them sporadically here. And I like to associate this with boulders and rocks and things that sort mm-hmm. of go along with that real well.
Very good.
So you might consider in the spring getting some columbine for some interesting early summer color.
Got it. We're going to take a little break here. We're going to be back. And if you have a call question, make sure you get it into us here at 1-800-749-5936. This is the Green Country Gardener. We'll be right back after this two-minute timeout.
Fall has arrived at Green Thumb Nursery and Greenhouses. Garden mums, pansies, and flowering kale are in stock and ready to bring color to your flower beds. Plus, Green Thumb Nursery and Greenhouses has new shipments of tropical foliage plants, trees, and shrubs. Now's a great time to plant fescue grass seed, and Green Thumb has a great selection of five-star fescue seed ready to sow. Come see what's new and get your mums and pansies from Bartlesville's largest selection of quality plants. Open 7 days a week. Green Thumb Nursery and Greenhouses.
Were you born from 1945 to 1965? People born during these years are 5 times more likely to have hepatitis C, but most people don't know they are infected. So even if you try to eat right, exercise, and take care of yourself, you can still have hepatitis C, a serious liver disease that often has no symptoms. In fact, people can live with hepatitis C for decades without feeling or looking sick. But over time, hepatitis C can cause serious health problems, including liver damage, liver failure, or even liver cancer. Getting tested is the only way to know if you're infected with hepatitis C. That's why the CDC recommends everyone born from 1945 to 1965 get a blood test for hepatitis C. Treatments are available that can cure this disease. So talk to your doctor about getting tested. It could save your life. A message from the CDC.
I wake up, I turn on the radio.
Wake up to K1 Morning News. Weekday mornings at 6.
When I need to know.
Phil Weaver has your weather. I'm Tom Davis, and I'll have your news headlines.
I need news in the morning, weather, and traffic.
Evan Farbach has sports.
Play ball!
Helping you start your day fully informed. K1 Morning News. Weekdays at 6.
In tune with what's going on
K1.
I listen every morning.
The one you trust.
Good morning. It is 8:46. This is the Green Country Gardener Program. Your phone calls welcome to 1-800-749-5936. I'm Tom Davis. He's Larry Glass. He's the one with all the smarts. I'm just the smart aleck.
Hello. No more comment.
There you go.
we're
just all rosy here.
Yeah, we need to talk a little bit about roses. The cooler weather will make a comeback on the roses. The knockouts, those that are alive and unaffected by the Rosette disease, are doing exactly what the name implies. They're quite a knockout. I've seen some really, really nice-looking roses here in town.
Mm-hmm.
In driving around, wow, look at those knockouts. What a show. Mm. So anyway, there is a risk of the Rosette disease, which I really think, looking at what's going on in town, that it's kind of going away.
I hope so.
Yeah, it's the pandemic on roses, I think it's going to be over with.
I think it took its toll on mine. Mine looks like it was playing Twister.
Yeah. But I think it's going to run its course.
Yeah.
So anyway, so they're really showing some good colors. So really, you don't do too much to them at this point.
Mm-hmm.
I wouldn't fertilize them. I wouldn't prune them right now. Just go ahead and enjoy the blooms. Mm-hmm. And then after Thanksgiving, just cut them back really far.
Oh, the good. This one's going to get it good.
Yeah. The good thing about the knockout roses is they are true to form from top to bottom. There's no graft on them. So you can really cut them back rather sternly, although I like to do it in late summer, August.
Yeah.
But you can still do it this time of year.
Good.
And then they'll put on a really nice show. They are putting on a really nice, really good show. And if they're away from a lot of pavement, typically, not really next to some roadways or something, specifically a road that might run north and south, because they get a lot of heat. I guess those along Frank Phillips are cooled by all the cars going by, maybe.
Yeah, breeze. It's supposed to be 25 or 30, but it goes 50 sometimes.
So anyway,
just saying.
Anyway, it's kind of luck of the Irish, I guess, depending on where your knockouts are, whether or not they'll get the Rosette disease. There are some parallels to that we've planted. We have good luck with the Grand Champion Rose. It seems to be putting on a really nice show. Then you get a bigger bloom on it, and it's more of a traditional rose.
Mm-hmm.
It's still a floribunda, but it does have the true to form. There's no graft on it, in other words. And we've planted some of those for people, and they've done pretty well, too. Mm-hmm. So keep them away. If you want some roses, keep them away from the west side of the house, and keep them away from, say, the roadway or the paving. Like that, because those are areas that mites really do like to live, because it warms up real quickly in the spring, and they infest those areas pretty well. And there are some people in town who are having great luck with their knockout roses, but make a note as to which side of the house they're planted on, and it'll kind of tell you why they're doing well.
South, baby.
South, that's why yours got rosettes.
I know.
So... anyways, roses, you might want to give them maybe a light fertilization at this point, not too much, because they're going to be putting on some show for the rest of the month, really. So if you haven't done anything like that, you might want to give them just a little bit of rose fertilizer so they'll usher into the winter rather well. And avoid heavy pruning at this point. You don't want to spur on some tender growth going into the winter. So just kind of enjoy them right now and wait till we've had a really good hard freeze to cut them back.
Got it.
So... we used to live up north in Chicago. We had rose cones, these foam cone-shaped. They look like traffic cones. And you trim back your roses and put these cones over the top of them. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm listening.
This is back in the 60s.
I'm trying to, yeah, I was around that. And I was living in that area back then, so I'm remembering, but I didn't know what that was for.
Yeah, rose cones, and you would put some soil around them to keep them secured.
Got it, yeah.
And that would insulate them from the cold. Sub-zero weather.
You betcha.
And then you take it up around Easter, and the roses will start to grow again.
Yeah.
So if you wanted roses up north, you had to have rose cones.
Yeah,
I don't know what they're doing now up there. I haven't been there in 30 years. So if they're more longer than that, 40 years.
I just going to say, Larry, you're not missing much. It's gone to 18 double hockey sticks.
And then the wind would howl. We get 70-mile-an-hour winds, and all these rose cones will be
flying all over the place.
And people buy new roses in the spring anyway. So anyway, so we don't have to do that here, fortunately. It doesn't get that cold. So the roses actually are kind of semi-evergreen here. They will have some leaves in a mild winter.
They will.
Pop on a few blooms around Valentine's Day when it gets warm.
It's going to say February. I've seen those pop.
So, okay, that's kind of that. Now, birds and other wildlife, it's time to put out the bird feeder to help the birds survive for the winter. Or you can plant some shrubs that the birds really like for the winter.
Yeah.
For instance, with the one we talked about earlier, the burning bush.
Mm-hmm.
They sort of like that real well. And holly plants, the deciduous holly is one they really do like. Yaupon hollies, they'll eat the berries off of those too. So have some maybe some shrubs, a bird garden, if you will, and they'll do very well. They like the cherry laurels too. They really like to eat the little seeds on those too all winter long. So.
Give them something to munch on.
That's right.
Know?
They're chowing down on my backyard all winter long. So in the vegetable garden right now, you need to dig your sweet potatoes. You need to harvest those pumpkins and winter squash if you haven't yet. You want to remove the green fruit from your tomato plants right now if you still have any tomato plants. Some people do, some people don't. Mm-hmm. Depends on where you are. I got to pull up my tomatoes this week because they've kind of had it. They're done. They look like a house of horrors back there. You can still plant the radishes and mustard in the fall garden and remove all the debris from the garden to prevent overwintering of garden pests. Mm-hmm. For instance, your tomatoes. You really don't, unless you have a really hot compost pile, you really don't want to compost them. You want to throw them down the gully somewhere. Or put them in the tip. You can let them haul them away. So you can try a cold frame for spinach, lettuce, and various other cool season crops susceptible to winter frosts. Mm-hmm. And time to build new planter beds, too. I've got a couple of them I've got to build for people this coming week. So anyway, keep in mind what did very well this year, mm-hmm. what kind of tomatoes did very well, and capitalize on that next year. Because our summers are pretty much the same every year. Hot. And if you had a problem with diseases, you might do a different variety. Like, for instance, this next year, we're going to plant some La Roma tomatoes. They had a real bad problem with cracking and splitting. So the La Romas don't do that.
No, they don't. They stay together pretty well.
So we'll plant some of those, maybe some Sweet 100s, too. So anyway, learn from your experiences on that. So anyway, landscaping, we do a lot of that as a nursery. We do irrigation systems. I'm working on a lighting system right now. And an ongoing irrigation project. We built in some expandability on it, and that's the next phase of the project is going on. So just make sure you know your GPMs from your pounds per square inches, your foot radius of coverage, and your pipeline velocity, all those factors you got to know on your designing an irrigation system. And I say design, a really good one is designed, and a really good one will take some pressure settings, readings at your house when they come by.
And it's all about the math, baby.
It's all about the math, right?
We're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back after this 2-minute, 30-second timeout.
From the time Frank Phillips completed his magnificent lodge home at Willow Rock in 1925 until Jane's death in 1948, they entertained the rich and the famous from all over the world. Their guests included wealthy business legends such as John D. Rockefeller and Henry Sinclair, politicians such as President Harry Truman and President Herbert Hoover, entertainers Rudy Vallee, Will Rogers, and Rubinoff, famous authors such as Edna Ferber, pilot Wiley Post, Elliot Roosevelt, son of President Roosevelt. The list goes on and on. As we look back on the parties and the stories and the deals that were being done at the lodge, we realize that it truly was the Great Gatsby of the Midwest. To most of Frank's guests who were visiting from the East or West Coast, and many times from Europe, they were truly seeing a glimpse of the Wild West that they had heard so much about. While in fact that era was long over by then, Frank Phillips loved the history and wanted to do everything he could to make sure that his guests received their money's worth during their visit to his lodge and to Willow Rock. With that in mind, it was not unusual for a carload of his guests to arrive at the gates of Willow Rock in their large black sedans and be stopped by masked bandits on horseback, taken from their cars and robbed of their wallets, jewelry, and purses, and then sent on their way by the thieves. What those guests didn't realize is that these were employees of Frank's who hurried back to the lodge on horseback, arriving well ahead of the cars. When the guests arrived at the lodge and burst into the house, telling their wild and terrifying story to Frank, he would smile and point to the table in the living room where the stolen loot was on display, compliments of Uncle Frank. Once their blood pressure had returned to normal, they too enjoyed Frank's welcome to the ranch joke. They came to see the Wild West, and Frank Phillips obliged in true Oklahoma fashion, and they left Willow Rock with stories that likely got bigger and bigger and bigger over the years. That same magic continues still today at this national treasure. Welcome home to Willow Rock.
Listen to K1 anywhere
and with Amazon Echo.
Alexa, tune to KWON Bartlesville.
Getting station KWON.
One more way to enjoy your favorite station. K1 AM 1400 and FM 93.3.
Good morning. It's 8:57. Green Country Gardener program right here for you. And 1-800-749-5936 is our contact line. And Larry Glass is with us. Larry.
Hello. Okay. Did we have a caller?
No, they didn't want to hang through.
Okay. Anyway, an irrigation system, think of it as the wiring in your house.
Mm-hmm.
You have circuit breakers that break when there's too much amperage on the lines. Well, mm-hmm. You don't have that with a sprinkler system. If you have too many heads on the line, they just kind of dribble. Too much water. And pipe sizing is very important. And you got to know your water source, too. Mm-hmm. So all these factors you have to play in when designing an irrigation system. It's kind of like wiring up a house. You just have to, you can only get so much through a wire. And it's kind of the same thing with a pipe. You got a caller?
I think so. Hi, you're on the air. Welcome aboard.
Yes, I have a question for Larry.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Is it November the month to plant jonquils?
Oh, yes. Yes, all month long, huh?
Well, I can't find them anywhere in Bartlesville. I was surprised.
We do have a little bucket of them at the nursery.
Well, I was told you just had the daffodils.
Yeah, same thing.
Well, I think they're white, and I was wanting the bright yellow.
Oh, okay. Well, I guess they got all balled up.
Okay.
We might be able
well,
to...
I'm just concerned because I thought there should be some this time of year.
Yeah, there should be, but I think they've all been sold and planted probably by now.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
All right. Thank you for calling.
Mm-hmm. There you go.
Yeah, I like to plant those in October.
October.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, anyway... So, yeah, that's an unfortunate thing. The bulbs are kind of losing out in the scheme of things. People want instant gratification.
Yeah.
You know, why do I want to plant these bulbs? I might not even live here in the spring, you know, kind of a thing.
Yeah, but so, for those
so
of
they
you...
So they are a tough sale.
They are.
Yeah, so, but anyway, hopefully they'll come back someday. People will realize that it's a really good value. They come back every year.
Mm-hmm.
There's nothing eats them because they're kind of toxic. Animals don't eat them and all that. But anyway, keep your shovel sharp. We will see you next week. Have a
American
good
Heritage Bank, now serving the Osage region of Bartlesville, Pawhuska, and Barnstall.
This is KWON Bartlesville and 93.3 FM K227 CQ Bartlesville.
This is CBS News on the Hour, your home for original reporting.
I'm Cammie McCormick.
We are watching you!
We are watching you!
Crowds gathered outside ballot counting centers as the nation waits for the presidential election outcome.
I feel sorry for them because it's a lot of hard work.
Katie Williams is the Hamilton County clerk in Indiana, one of the states we're still watching, Arizona. Correspondent Jamie Yukis in Phoenix.
Tensions are running high outside the Maricopa County Elections Office. For several days, President Trump's supporters, many of them armed, have been holding rallies outside the election center here. Officials actually tell me they are on track to complete their fastest count ever with the most votes they've ever received.
Correspondent Tom Foti has more.
The vote count has been changing in key battleground states, but the presidential election picture remains unchanged. Democrat Joe Biden had expected to claim victory Friday night, but settled instead for an update.
74 million votes. That's more than any presidential ticket has ever gotten in the history of the United States of America. And our vote total is still growing.
That has been especially true in the largest of the unsettled states, Pennsylvania.
Another concern during the election, the pandemic. Reporter Sharon Coe in San Antonio.
The Bexar County Elections Administrator Jackie Callinan shared next Monday and Tuesday, poll workers will be offered free coronavirus tests.
We want to have them have the peace of mind, and we want to make sure that they have been protected.
White House Chief Chief of Staff Mark Meadows has tested positive for COVID-19. He was in a meeting last week that included Vice President Mike Pence. Elsewhere, new cases continue to spike in Wisconsin, where doctors are pleading with the public to take the situation seriously.
I wish with all my heart that they were right and that COVID would go away today, but unfortunately, that's not the case.
In Denver, residents are being urged to stay at home overnight. KCNC-TV reporter Tori Mason.
With the exception of essential workers, everyone is prohibited from being out on any public street or place after 10.
Restricting hours where alcohol can be consumed is another part of the overall strategy. People become less careful, less inhibited, the more they drink, and then later they are out.
In Texas, a judge has upheld a lockdown for El Paso. Judge Ricardo Samaniego originally issued that order despite opposition from businesses.
We have a collapse of our health system, and our economy will be damaged for a long time. It'll be difficult to recover. And we are in that critical situation at this point in time.
Hospitals in northeastern Tennessee are seeing a shortage of nurses because of the incoming cases there. South Dakota has set a new record for single-day deaths. Nebraska is experiencing another spike. This is CBS News.
CBS News Radio is your home for breaking news. With our team of reporters around the country and the world, we give you the coverage you can trust.
Have you ever thought about saying goodbye to your job, just walking into your boss and saying, "I quit"? And how would you like to commute to work without ever leaving your home? Well, not long ago, a 39-year-old entrepreneur from a billionaire family spent $20 million in 3 years to find the best home-based business in North America. He researched 70 different companies, and when he found the only one that had real long-term potential, he bought it. And right now, he's looking for people to help him turn this company into his next billion-dollar success story. So if you're serious about making money from home without having to leave your home, well, grab a pen. Because I'm about to give you the address of a website where you can learn all about this unique and rare opportunity. Write this down. www.gohernext.com. Now get on your computer and go to this site now. Part-time or full-time, your income is based totally on your performance. Interested? GoHereNext.com and say goodbye to your boss tomorrow. GoHereNext.com.
It was a historic season for drive-in theaters that turned into pandemic-era gathering places, but now it's getting cold. More from CBS News correspondent Stephen Kaufman.
Drive-in theaters had a surprisingly busy summer, while indoor theaters suffered losses because of the pandemic. At New Jersey's last remaining drive-in, the Delsey, plans are to keep showing films till December, despite the cold.
We certainly have hot beverages, hot apple cider, hot chocolate, coffee and teas.
Owner Jude DeLeonardis says drive-ins can stay open during colder months when customers